What's up, everybody? It's your boy Jamon Bolton. We're here with another episode of the Jamon Bolton Show. And let's get right into it, man. We've had a crazy week of sports. We've got some pretty big things coming up, obviously, with the World Cup, you know. But let's jump right into it. I want to start talking about the NBA Summer League. You know, I know many people don't really put much emphasis on it. But if you're a team like my Knicks, you know, you understand this is kind of where you get a chance to see what your players are made out of. You know, since I've been a Knicks fan, obviously, we've got spurned by a lot of different draft picks. Some draft picks didn't work out. Obviously, the biggest one is the biggest blunder would probably be 1999 with Frederick Vice, who never came over, and he's more famous for getting jumped over by Vince Carter than anything else in his career. You know what I mean? So, but the Knicks seem to have done a really good job. You know, we got Kevin Knox from Kentucky. A lot of people booed him on draft night. You know, myself, I was kind of like, shaking my head because I kind of wanted another player and some other players that probably could have fit in. Just like last year's draft pick, Frank Ntilikina, I didn't really think we should have gone with him. You know, the verdict is still out on him, but I was really hoping that we would pull the trigger on Dennis Smith Jr., but it's neither here nor there. But Knox has looked really good so far, averaging 23-7 in Vegas, you know, showing flashes of brilliance out there. Look really impressive. He's very long and lengthy. Kind of looks like Kevin Durant out in the court, not skill-wise, but just body type, just with his length and everything like that. So looks impressive, looks good. Hopefully those boos will kind of get turned into chairs like it did for Porzingis a couple years ago. DeAndre Ayton from Phoenix, we all know what he's about. Number one pick in the draft. He expected to live up to all the hype, you know, averaging 16-11. He's dominated everybody he's faced in summer league so far. He's actually one of those guys where you know he's actually going to be real good. You know, it may be a learning curve, but he seems to have everything ready together. You got Wendell Carter Jr. from Chicago. He's been a 4-16-7 and like almost four blocks a game. You know, been great defensively, you know, huge presence in the lane. Could score on a regular basis. And a lot of people kind of, you know, they knew he was good, but you didn't really know how good he was. And so Marvin Bagley declared early to come to Duke. Wendell Carter was the focus of that draft class. So it kind of set everything behind, set everybody back as far as Marvin Bagley coming in. And Marvin Bagley, obviously, he's a great talent. So you kind of have to say, let me take a step back. Let me go ahead. Let me let him come in. And let me play my part. Wendell Carter almost averaged, you know, double-double, 13-9 last year. About a block and a half, two blocks. So he played his part. But now with the NBA, he should be able to showcase his game a little bit more. So looks really good. You know, we got Harry Giles. I don't know if anybody really remembers him, but he sat out last year. He kind of got redshirted, if you want to say. You know, Sacramento took a chance on him. He got picked 20th. And Harry Giles is one of those guys. He's a low-risk, you know, low-risk gamble pick by the Kings, I should say. You know, he's a top player in his class as a sophomore. You go on YouTube, you know, he had it all. Real skill, big man, put the ball on the floor, could shoot really well. You know, then he took injuries started to hit ACL, MCL, meniscus, tearing his left knee, another surgery in his right knee. That's a lot for a young kid to kind of deal with. You know, nobody wants to keep dealing with injuries. And as a young guy, that took a toll on him. You know, he ended up still signing with Duke, obviously. Didn't really produce the way he should have, so he was drafted based off potential. But you look at him, you know, he's got healthy, got under NBA regimen for a year. He's doing his part. He's been pretty solid, you know, 12-7 in summer league. And everybody's like, oh, 12-7. But look, it's a long way to come. He's going to be a rotational big man. I think he'll be able to help them. And I hope once he gets his confidence under him fully, it'll be like, okay, he's back. You know, he may not ever be able to jump the way he once jumped because he was a skyrider. You know, he could jump. You know, he could walk. You know, he's a skywalker for his size. And he can handle the ball. We don't know if he'll ever get back to that. But he's, you know, he's actually good. You know, put him with Bagley. He's been a pleasant surprise. So I think he's been able to get his minutes and get in there, get his confidence up under him in Sacramento. You know, like I said, they got him. They can work with him. And, you know, even if he's never an all-star, I just want to see him get back to being healthy because that's what it's all about. You know what I mean? Kid gets there, fulfills his dream. You don't kind of want him to come in and just be like, blah. You want him to really work hard. So, you know, another guy that stood out has been Trae Young. You know, people, you know, quick to call him a bust and say this, say that. But listen, Trae's good. You know, he's seen the game. He has 7 threes in summer league and it's a team player. I think he's going to be good. Atlanta, you know, Atlanta just signed, you know, he got Jeremy Lin. They traded for him. So, you know, somebody for trade to lean off of. And Jeremy Lin's not that guy that won't help him. You know, he's definitely going to be an added piece. One of those guys that, you know, good locker room guy, a guy that just super positive, comes in and does a job, and somebody that trade can lean off of, which I think is going to be invaluable to him. So, you know, it'll be good, you know, but he's actually been impressive. And we also had Jabari Bird from Boston, averaged 18-5. You know, he was a two-way player last year. Kind of got a bright future. Traveled with the team during the playoffs just to kind of get a first-hand experience as to what it's going to be like. Looks really good in summer league. Was a second-round pick a couple years ago. But I think he's going to really start to stand out a little bit. So he looked really good. That was just, you know, just in some people that I took a look at, some people that I liked, some people that I kind of was impressed with from what I saw. So, you know, just jumped out to me a little bit. But definitely one of those more people that's out there, but these are just my guys that I want to go with. You know, Mo Bamba look good. Everybody's showing flash. Everybody that should be performing is performing well. Obviously, Michael Porter Junior isn't playing. Obviously, Dem is being very, very careful with him and how his rehab is going. He had the back injury, probably would have been, a higher pick had he come out of high school and didn't have that injury. But, right now he hasn't played. So these are the guys that jumped out to me. As far as the NBA, let's keep it there. Let's talk about this Carmelo Anthony saga. Okay, we all know anybody, if you watch sports, you haven't been under a rock. You kind of know OKC, they've agreed to part ways with Melo. It's going to save them over $100 million in luxury tax dollars because the luxury tax is going to be through the roof and so forth. So they're going to, they agreed to part ways with him. So right now they're having a hard time finding a trade partner for him. So I don't know what's going to happen, whether or not they're going to kind of stretch the contract out, and waive him and so forth. Do whatever they're going to do, buy out. I don't know what's happening. As of right now, they give him permission to speak to his suitors, the Houston Rockets, Miami Heat, and for me, I've been hearing Houston's determined to get Melo because he's great friends with CP3. But, I wouldn't even talk to Miami. That's just me personally, but that's not my career. I'm not making this decision. If he seriously wants to try to get a ring, Houston should be the only team he considers in this scenario and maybe give LA an outside shot because, a lot of guys do live in LA. So that would be something I would consider as well. You get to play with Bron. Maybe get a chance to expand your career a little bit more. He has to understand if he really wants to get that ring, he has to sit there and look at himself in the mirror and say, look, nothing he's done up until this point will make you cringe, right? One of the best players we've seen come through the league, one of the best players we've ever seen. He's a great guy, he's a great player, put up a lot of numbers, but it just didn't work. I want now is the time when you're looking at it and you're saying, damn, I'm 30, I'm 33, 34. Things are closing on it. We all saw Melo as a 19-year-old freshman. He captivated the nation with what he did at Syracuse. He got on that magical run in the tournament, and obviously he was the best player in the country that year. He didn't get the Player of the Year award, but he was the best player in the country that year, hands down. And you look at it and you say, wow, okay, he's gonna be special, and he has been special. Those Denver years were really special. And now he's at a point where he's just like trying to really find a way to possibly get a ring. And as an athlete, many athletes, professional athletes in just my years of looking at sports, you realize they do have huge egos, right? They all come in, they want to be the man, they are the man, and they do things their way. And the way I see it is just like, listen, you have to get out there and at some point realize, like, I'm not the player I once was. I'm not the guy I once was. I'll never be the same guy that I was when I was younger. And that's just because they don't really have, they don't have the skill set anymore. So, with that being said, without me ranting, Melo needs to, he put this all on himself, right? And, he should have gone to Miami with LeBron and D Wade. And I can't get mad at him. The time they signed that contract, the reports were like, look, they said sign a 4-year opt out after 3. Melo signed a 4-year, he signed a 4-year deal with no opt out. So, I can't blame him. I want to get all the money I can make because his window was so small. So, he did that, and he ended up in New York, obviously, while LeBron and D Wade went down. D Wade teamed up with Bosh down in Miami, and he ended up getting 2 rings. And Melo, obviously, if you listen to Stephen A. Smith, he'd tell you Melo was supposed to be that third cog with the big three. It wasn't supposed to be Chris Bosh. That was all supposed to be Melo, but Melo did what he had to do. Now, does he have any regrets? I'm probably sure. Me personally, I've been going out with my boys, played for 4 years with them, and Melo being Melo. Obviously, I think he would have made a big difference in that Dallas series, whereas Chris Bosh folded a little bit. No disrespect. I think Melo would have made a huge difference. He steps in, he plays his bully ball, he goes hard, and you're on a national spotlight. Everybody reacts different. Some people fold, some people just step up to the plate. And I think they would have probably got 3 out of 4, maybe. Who knows? It could have been 4 out of 4. We don't know. We'll never know. Just a mystery and something that we'll always assume what would have happened or what could have happened because of just the thought process. But, he should have done that. He should have gone to Miami, then come to New York and kind of, end his career here in New York. But that's neither here nor there. Hopefully he comes back. Hopefully he's able to bounce back. Get with a team, maybe Houston. I don't want to see him go to Miami because he'd be putting up buckets for nothing. I think he should go to Houston. Obviously, hopefully he and D'Antoni can kind of get past whatever little rift they had in New York. Hopefully he can settle and realize, like, look, I'm not the same guy anymore. I can come off the bench if I have to. And it's not how you start; it's how you finish. A lot of players in the league will tell you that. A lot of legendary players have been six man of the year before. Look at Kevin McHale. He was a six man at one point in time in his career. A lot of great players were six men. So it doesn't really matter. Bill Walton was a six man on that 86 Celtics team, even though he was past his prime. But, he's still Bill Walton. He still had that Bill Walton UCLA ego in him. You know, maybe physically he may not have been able to do it, but he could have gone somewhere probably, I'm sure, and said, look, I want to start. And somebody would have given him an opportunity. You know, it may have only been 20, 25 minutes a night as a starter, but he came to grips and came to reality, got his second ring, and ended up riding into the sunset. So just neither here nor there. My take is I think Melo should try to join forces with Houston. Maybe he and D'Antoni can kind of sit down, figure some stuff out. Or maybe look on the long, you know, you never know. Maybe he can go to LA with LeBron. That's just me thinking and me talking. You know, I think Melo, you know, Melo deserves a little bit more. You know, he gets flack because he hasn't really made it far in the playoffs. You can't get mad at critics, but it is what it is. So, you know, I move on from that. But that's just my thought on it. But let's move on to Adam Silver. Obviously, we know he's I like to call him the best commissioner in sports. Very open-minded. He's definitely different than David Stern. It seemed like the players really love him. You know, obviously when he stepped into the fire, that whole Donald Sterling thing, he reacted accordingly, reacted the right way actually. You know, he's a guy that lets the players do what they have to do. And right now he seems to be, you know, going back to changing things to the way they were. You know, NBA is apparently going to eliminate the age limit, which means no more one and dones. So it kind of helps both, I think. I think a lot of people were so caught up on a player coming in at 19. Oh, he's not ready. He's not this. Look, every business makes a bad decision, right? So people are worried about how it's going to look. Every business makes a decision. This just happens to be the NBA where your business decisions that are bad are publicized, right? How many companies you know behind the scenes are making terrible deals where they're going to lose 10 million, you know, over the course of a couple of years, where they're going to lose, you know, 5 million over the course of a couple of years, which I'm giving up the amounts of rookie contracts that are given out when players don't really make it. We get it, you know, for every LeBron, Kevin, you know, Kevin Garnett, Jermaine O'Neal, Tracy McGrady, you got a Leon Smith, a Corleon Young, an Andy Ebby. You got guys like that who come out and aren't ready, you know. But they, if you can go to the Army at 18, why not be? Why shouldn't you be able to come to the NBA? That's just my thought process on it, man. I love that Commissioner Silver is like he's agreeing for it to happen. He realizes it's not going to happen next year, but I think the next CBA in a couple of years, they'll kind of eliminate that and let everybody go ahead because it's not really doing anything for college. You got a kid that's going to summer school and rolling in school from what, June, July, and he's kind of like going to school through March. If his team gets to the tournament and loses a little bit early, then he's withdrawing. So it really doesn't add up. Really doesn't make sense. The kid doesn't really want to be there anyway. If you look at some of those classes they're taking, it's probably not the toughest classes in the world. So why not get a kid there, let him go into the workforce, you know. You look at certain situations, like you look at a kid like Michael Porter Jr., like I brought him up, but he's not playing in summer league. But, you know, here he is. If he'd been able to go out of high school last year, he'd been a top five pick, right? And God forbid if he gets hurt in the NBA, he's got a huge contract. You know, he ended up signing a shoe deal with Puma, but he would have had another shoe, he'd had a shoe deal, you know, even more money probably. And you know, he kind of hurt himself with a couple, you know, dropping a couple spots. And hopefully, it doesn't hurt his career long term. And hopefully, what happens ends up being the right, you know, Denver's doing the right thing, taking precaution and not playing him. But you look at it and you say, had he gone out of high school? We don't know what would have happened. But he's under the NBA treatment for a year. He's, you know, he's got his money. He's got drafted. So I just say, look, none of this should have ever happened. It shouldn't happen. But I just like the fact that they're getting rid of this rule. You know, it's never seemed right. These kids don't deserve to sit there and have to go to school for you if they don't really want to be there. That's just my humble opinion. I'm glad that Commissioner Silver's taking the bull by the horns, doing things a little different than a previous regime. You know, not a knock against David Stern, but you know, Commissioner Silver seems to be more willing to try different things. Obviously, look at the All-Star game format. Then you're hearing the rumors about the 1 through 16 player format that's going to be thrown out there possibly. So he's willing to, he's open to change. So we'll see how that happens. Before I move on with NBA, we got a little bit more NBA news as far as free agency goes. We see Jabari Parker, you know, the Bulls, they've been talking about they're throwing an offer sheet out to Jabari Parker. It can be possibly done today. He's a restricted free agent. He's another guy that, you know, I was very high on, you know, being a guy that I follow Duke a lot during the season. And I follow a lot of high school recruits. He's a guy that I thought he was going to be the second coming. You know, he's just a real, real good player. You know, he's kind of had the injury bug hit him a little bit. He had, you know, he got injured in high school. Kind of came back, bounced back, you know, put a little bit of weight on, but he worked his way into this, you know, worked his way into the rotation, looked really good. Something happened with his foot in high school. Then he gets to college. He plays hard, does his part, gets picked number two in the draft. The last couple of years, you know, he tore his ACL twice in his left knee. You know, he had a breakout year in 2016, 2017, averaged about 27 rebounds and 3 assists in 51 games, and then he had that knee injury again. Came back, averaged about 13, and Seems out of place in Milwaukee. Obviously, nobody expected Giannis to really blossom the way he blossomed. It was supposed to be Jabari's team. And that's not that they have a problem with each other because they seemingly love each other. But I think if the Bulls can pull this off, this would be a great coup for them. They got a young team out there. You know, they got Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr., Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn. Jabari Parker from the city. Obviously, we know what kind of guy he is, what kind of player he is. So it'd definitely be good for him. Step right in. Young team. They could possibly be back on the rise again. So, you know, we don't know what's going to happen, but that'll be a good look if it does, you know. So let's slide over to soccer for a little bit. We had some big news happen the other day. You know, after 9 years, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo is leaving the global soccer giant. You know, he's going to Club Juventus. Excuse me for pronouncing the name wrong. So huge deal worth $340 million over 4 years, according to Forbes sources. So the tally includes $140 million transfer fee owed to Real. And a net annual salary of roughly $35 million for Ronaldo. So there are no bonuses or incentives in the deal. Based off Italy's top tax rate, Ronaldo's new gross equates to $64 million. A pay cut from $66 he was expected to make his upcoming season in salary and bonuses if he stayed, you know, at the Santiago Bernabeu Stadium. I'm sorry. Dang, my pronunciation is terrible. So this lags behind the gross pay of Leo Messi, $84 million a year. Neymar makes $73 million, both of whom receiving new deals last year with their clubs, Barcelona and Paris Saint-Germain. So Ronaldo's move, apparently, according to experts, to Juventus has been, you know, with his obsession with Barcelona's Lionel Messi, according to ex-Manchester United winger Ryan Giggs. You know, like everybody in every sport, you're kind of chasing something. You're chasing someone or something, right? In sports, and you know, Michael Jordan, he was chasing Magic and Larry, right? And Isaiah and those guys, right? Magic and Larry never three-peated, so he did it. And Magic was that guy. Magic had five. So when he got five, he wanted to get six. You get what I'm saying? His goal was always just to chase. That's who he was chasing. That's what he was after. And this is no different right now. So I think Ronaldo, he is who he is. He's a legend all across the world. Everybody loves him. Everybody knows him. And I just think for him, it's a challenge, but he wants to go to, you know, he's going to a huge club and he knows it's just like for him when he wants to be better than Messi. And he can say, like, I did it in England, I did it in Spain, and I'm about to do it in Italy. I did it with Portugal. So maybe the argument, you know, the argument when everybody says who's better, people can see it, this move and see when he wins and says, hey, he may be better. I'm not the biggest expert on soccer. I'm just reporting, but obviously I know who those two guys are. So the obsession is real. This move was made for obvious reasons, more than likely. Obviously, money always plays a part in something, but I just think the fact to stand out a little bit more with your competitors and everybody knows who's the one, you know, is what drives these guys. You know, it doesn't hurt that you're making all this money either, but, you know, you want to be recognized as the best. You know, we all say from the outside looking in, oh, I'm not going nowhere. I'm making 60-something million somewhere. I'm chilling. But, hey, when a guy is – when you're feeling it, you're feeling it. So, you know, Ronaldo – good luck to him in his move. You know, Juventus, obviously, they've been winning forever. And they're going to continue to win, obviously. So we'll see how that works out. You know, it should be interesting. And as far as soccer, you know, we obviously got a big game coming up tomorrow. Obviously, you know, we got the World Cup final. You know, we got France and Croatia. France is the favorite. You know, Croatia is a huge underdog, but they've had a hell of a run. You know, they won their group. They defeated Denmark and Russia on penalties, England in extra time. You know, they may be exhausted, you know, it may be a lot, but I think right now is at the time to be exhausted. We all know Croatia lost to France in 98. And after that, they really haven't advanced past the group stage since then. You know, obviously France won a World Cup in 98, but it's been a magical run for Croatia. I think, you know, getting in there, you know, you got the whole country behind you, got 4.5 million people. So it's going to be a lot at stake for them. I don't know, a lot of people are going with the experts are going with France, but I just think when you have an underdog coming in like Croatia, playing the way they've played, you know, beating these teams the way they've beaten them, I think it's going to be really, really interesting to see how it all works out. So me being who I am, I think I'm going to go with Croatia just because, look, everybody loves an underdog. Everybody wants the underdog story to keep going on. And I think it's going to be pretty cool to see them play. You know, it's tomorrow, Sunday at 10 a.m. on July 15th. So we should get a chance to watch that. It'd be really, really great. I'm looking forward to it. So I'm normally not like a soccer guy, but, you know, every time the World Cup comes on, everybody's kind of tuned in. You know, it's one of those things where you're watching no matter what. You know, MLS soccer is pretty cool, but when you get to watch the big wigs and the big dogs play, you tune in. It's one of those things, like I said, you just want to sit there and lock in and load. So got to go for it. So Let's slide off over to the NFL right now. NFL hasn't really had a great couple of days. And I know I'm a few days late to this, but it's been pretty bad, man. You know, the worst thing when you're representing a league, you think about a league, you want to just talk about the good times, right? You don't want to talk about you don't want to talk about the bad. You want to talk about all the good that's been happening. And NFL hasn't had anything to smile about, really, right? So, like I said, the past couple of days have been bad. You know, former Seattle Seahawks cornerback Brandon Browner been accused of attempted murder, three other felonies last Tuesday after he allegedly assaulted a woman during a break in her California home last Sunday. Browner's 33, is accused of physically harming and making threats against the victim while he was in a residence. He's also accused of stealing a Rolex watch valued at $20,000. In addition to the attempted murder, he's facing charges of robbery, burglary, false imprisonment, and two counts of child endangerment. You know, police are located Browner within a couple hours of the incident, got into custody, no incident. So, you know, that's a good thing. He didn't, nothing bad happened to him in that regard. And I'm not saying like, I feel bad for him, you know, but it could have been a lot worse. He could have got shot. You know, sometimes these things end up not being great. They had a previous relationship before, you know, he and Browner, the victim, he got arrested for domestic violence, according to police. Right. I'm gonna say this, right. Because the next story, the next topic that I'm talking about, you know, it's another tricky thing. But before I go on, I want to say these guys were kids that once sat in their rooms and said, man, when I make it, when I do this, I do that. You know, I'm going to be the best person in the world. You know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. In this case, it seems like he didn't want to let go of an ex. Right. Seems like he has problems with himself. He seems like he may need to get some help. You know, people seem to take things for granted. Like mental health is real, you know, you kind of got to, you know, people like don't want to get help and people don't want to address these things. And, you know, they just feel like, you know, oh, it's a joke. You know, I don't want to be embarrassed by going on and doing this and doing that. I say this, man, people need to get help. Seems like he needs to get help. You're like, you're endangering a child's life, possibly, you know, you're going in there, you know, you're holding someone hostage. It's just crazy how everything is happening. And it's like, you got an attempted murder charge now. You know, you played in the NFL, you won two Super Bowls, the Seahawks and the Patriots. And it's like, now your life is shit now. Because you decided you want to get out there and just do whatever it is you want to do. I don't get it. I never really can understand that. Maybe because I don't walk that path, you know, but I just look at it from the outside like, man, you need to get some damn help, you know, like doing this for what? Like, I always thought of it, man. Like when you're dating someone, yeah, it hurts. They don't want to be with you, but it's like, yo, you got to look, man, I'm done. I'm cool. You got it. You know what I'm saying? So it's just one of those things where you can't really let it get to you. You kind of got to let it be. You got to do your thing, you know? So that's just my thought process on it. I just found it to be a little odd, obviously. But, you know, hasn't been good, like a good week for the NFL. And then, you know, you go move over to LeSean McCoy. We all know what happened with him. Obviously, it was a picture released and his ex-girlfriend's friend sent a lengthy, like, you know, just like a lengthy post on social media talking about him being a dog and how he's abusive to his lady, his son, his dog, and was taking steroids and so forth. So the woman was beat down pretty bad. And it looked like he did it initially, according to reports. And then apparently the next day, reports came out. The woman called 911 after being beaten and robbed the jewelry in a home invasion. She believed LeSean McCoy sent somebody to get her. You know, the guy came into the house. He asked specifically for the jewelry. So it's like when you come in and rob somebody's house, I'm not an expert on robbing nobody's house, but I would think you would be like, hey, where's this? Where's that? Unless the person's been really stalking you. And they kind of know it was an inside job. They know the whereabouts of where you're going to be at. I find that to be a little bit weird. It's not a good look for him either. You know, investigators, they're more skilled at me, obviously, than looking at these things. And they're able to determine and dictate what happened a little bit better than I would. But it's definitely not good because you sit there, you know, you work hard your entire life. You want to be an NFL football player. And then again, when things don't go the way you want them to go, sometimes things like this happen, you know, and again, I'll be the first to apologize if I'm saying something that isn't happening, that isn't true, but it just doesn't look good. You know, the way she said it and the way reports indicate, like the guy came in the house, he beats her up. They're about to go to court. You know, he's trying to evict out of a house that he was sharing with her that he had. It's just a mess. And like I say, it hasn't been a good week for the NFL news wise. You know, you kind of, they always say protect the shield, represent the shield. And then something like this happens and it's kind of like, ugh. So it's kind of crazy, but you know, we have yet to see what happens. I think the court date was pushed back. We don't know what's happening. McCoy released a statement saying he doesn't know what. He hasn't had any contact with the individual. So we'll never know. We won't know until details start to emerge out. So the other day, you know, moving on with NFL news. The other day, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, they said they won't acknowledge T.O. Terrell Owens during individually during the enshrinement weekend in Canton, Ohio next month. The Hall's executive director said the focus is on the guys who are here. Executive director Joe Horrigan told the Talk News on the Talk of Fame, the Hall of Fame Sports News Network the other day. So, right now we all know what happened with T.O. He said he's not going to attend the ceremonies attended for August 3rd and 4th. Instead, he'll be at his alma mater, University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. He'll deliver his acceptance speech on campus August 4th. And, his name will be announced. His name will be there when the whole class is announced. And his name will be a part of it. But he won't be a part of the ceremony. He won't get the acknowledgement as if he was there. His gold jacket is definitely going to be mailed to him, they said, the day after. It's a crazy situation. Terrell Owens has been critical of the board of selectors when he wasn't chosen in 2016, 2017, the first 2 years of eligibility. He was voted in with Brian B Bedford, Robert Brazel, Brian Dawkins, Jerry Kramer, Ray Lewis, Randy Moss, and Brian Urlacher. And I say this, right? And sorry for mispronouncing some of those names or whatever. I have a terrible time. I'm terrible at doing that, right? So you look at T.O., he's got the numbers. The numbers are definitely there. And I think what's happened with him is that a lot of people didn't like how T.O. operated. They didn't like how T.O. handled things. T.O. did things the way T.O. is supposed to do things. But I also think it's unfair for a guy of his caliber to have to wait a couple times. Granted, some receivers who are great, they had to wait one or two times. And, some players who should have been in first ballot Hall of Famers, they didn't wait. They had to wait as well. But I get it. He speaks up. He speaks his mind. He says what he has to say. And it is what it is. You can't get mad at a man for speaking up and feeling the way he feels. And he's doing things his way. They're doing things their way. They're not going to acknowledge him during the ceremony. When they get the gold jackets that Friday night, his will be mailed out Saturday morning. Still a Hall of Famer. I honestly think some of the guys that actually have voting privileges should really be looked upon. Because if a guy doesn't want to speak to you, that doesn't give you the right to sit there and say, oh, he's a terrible, I'm not going to vote for him. And a lot of it was personal. And I guess he's doing things the way he feels like he should do them. But it's just, I don't know. It's just one of those things. You know what I mean? But that's T.O. being T.O. And I can't knock it. He's definitely well deserving. Everybody has their opinion on who's the best, who's one of the best. And T.O.'s definitely one of the best I've ever seen. So I'm sure everybody else who's listened to this, everybody who's ever watched football will definitely say it. Was his attitude the best? No. But I mean, hey. Listen, he is who he is, and he should have definitely been in the first ballot. Would have been great to see him kind of get enshrined with everybody else, but I mean, because you only live once, you only get elected to the Hall of Fame once. But I mean, if he's happy with it, then who are we to sit there and disagree with him, right? So, the Carolina Panthers have officially been sold to billionaire David Tepper for an NFL record $2.275 billion. It was announced on Monday. He purchased the team from founder Jerry Richardson. He was also, who was fined $2.75 million for the sexual and racial workplace misconduct on June 28 by the NFL. Richardson issued a statement that he and his wife were thankful for the Carolina community for the love and support for the Panthers. He thanked them for everything, for all the run, but he didn't issue an apology for the allegations. So, I mean, I guess it's a new era. Some of the players have reportedly been very excited about what's been happening, about the new deal, about the new direction the franchise is headed. So we'll have to see about that, but definitely, I guess a new day in Carolina. And running back DeMarco Murray's retired after 7 years in the NFL, rushing over 7,100 yards, 49 touchdowns. He's an offensive player of the year in 2014, also earned the first team All-Pro selection. So 30 years old, I guess it's probably some people will say maybe too soon, but hey, we don't get hit coming up the middle by NFL linebackers. So it's a bit different. So, things happen for a reason. But, pretty cool. Congrats to him. Had a decent career, pretty cool. Serena Williams, as I speak right now, she's facing off against Angelique Kerber in a Wimbledon final. Serena's aiming for an eighth Wimbledon title. And for me, I look at this win or lose is pretty remarkable. Remember, 10 months ago, she had life-threatening pulmonary embolisms after delivering her daughter via C-section. She was on bed rest for several weeks, unable to train to the end of the year. When she returned from maternity leave in March, every baby step was celebrated. Everything that people say about her. Like, oh, what's this? What's happening? We don't know what's going to happen. She's defied all the odds. So, shout out to Serena, sitting out there trying to get a 24th Grand Slam title. The best that's ever done it. Still got a lot left. It takes a lot for somebody to come back from having a baby. I've never had a baby, obviously, but it takes a lot. Serena's out there defying the odds, doing what she has to do. So pretty awesome and pretty incredible. And if she wins at a number 25, she should be the lowest seeded player to ever win Wimbledon. So that'd be pretty impressive as well. She's out here. She's always doing what she has to do. Just Serena being Serena, obviously. And before I head out here, I want to shout out Albert Pujols. He just tied Ken Griffey for six all time. He hit his 630th home run the other night. And, Albert Pujols, I know most people think, oh, he should have been over 700 by now. It's one of those things where you look at, like, he's not the same guy anymore. He's not the Albert Pujols we knew in St. Louis. A lot of people think he should have stayed in St. Louis. I'm one of them. I think he probably should have stayed put. Probably would have been better for his career. But I look at it and say, hey, he's still pretty good. He still can swing a bat. Injuries just catch up to you. He's getting a little bit older. And he's not the same guy that we saw in St. Louis anymore. But definitely, he's still out here getting after it. Got a few more years left with the Angels. Who knows what direction they're going to go in. So it's definitely good to see him out there still getting after it. He's actually on the 10-day DL right after it happened, coincidentally. But, shout out to him. Much love for the accomplishment. So that's all I have for today. I just wanted to get something out there. I want you guys to, stay informed, stay up to date with everything that's happening. But again, as always, man, thank you for everything. Thank you for the support. Please go ahead and follow my Instagram page at Sports Drama Entertainment. Again, follow my Instagram page at Sports Drama Entertainment. Obviously, I'm doing things I'm on a solo mission right now, but I'm trying to update everything as fast as I can, as much as I can. But just stick with me. Things are going to get a lot better. Thank you for the support. Shout out to my boy Cal at All Things Hoops, my boy Ron and K Jamal at A Game Podcast. Thank you to everybody that continuously supports me. Thank you for everything. And we'll see you guys in a couple of days. Peace.